The message I'll have to share part this morning and rest this afternoon. It's too lengthy to share all this morning. But the signs of Christ's coming. Now, I know there's not a single thing that has to be fulfilled to this point for Jesus to come again. That's evident. But Jesus' disciples, as they sat together on the Mount of Olives, had a question. If you'll turn with me to the book of St. Matthew, chapter number 24. Look with me there for just a moment. Matthew chapter 24. Look at verse 3. His disciples had a question about the signs of the times as to when Jesus would return again. And here's a question they ask in chapter 24 of Matthew, verse 3. I hope you'll study. If you haven't, it would really do you a favor and an honor to study Matthew chapter 24, 25, and 26 concerning the last times. But this is just a portion. 24:3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered their question, at least in part, over there in the same chapter. Look at verse 36 through verse 39. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. I'm sure I've had many people over the years to ask me, Preacher, what's the signs of Jesus coming? I said, Jesus coming could be imminent. He could come a next split second. There are no more signs that have to be fulfilled whatsoever for Jesus Christ to come again. But in these chapters of Matthew, chapter 24 through 26, I encourage you to read them. Jesus talks about wars, and he talks about rumors of wars, and certainly we're seeing those today, aren't we? He talked about kingdoms being against kingdoms. We're seeing all that today. He talked about famines. We're seeing, you know, some of those things. He talked about pestilences, and we're seeing those things too. He talked about earthquakes, and we see, you know, many of those things. And, you know, terrible things are happening in these days. But Jesus said these are just the beginnings of sorrows. So read those chapters for yourself. But then they ask him the question plainly. Lord Jesus, tell us. Give us a sign. Let us know about the end times when you're going to come again. And then he began to answer them there in chapter 24 of Matthew, verses 36 through verse 39. If you want to know, and I trust you do, if you want to know about the signs, what's going to be taking place when Jesus comes again, you'll have to go to the Word of God. You can't go to the philosophers. You can't go to the theologians. You can't go to the clairvoyants or anybody else or palm readers or anybody else. You're going to have to go to the Word of God to find out what signs are going to be evident when the Lord Jesus comes again. So, that being true, turn with me to the Word of God. Go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Go back to Genesis chapter 4. I want you to listen as I share verses 16 through verse number 24. Here we'll find the signs that Jesus says will be repeated when he comes again. Genesis 4, verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad beget Mahujael, and Mahujael beget Methusael, and Methusael beget Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the other, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Jesus said over in chapter 24 of Matthew, As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to know what was going on in the days of Noah, you've got to go back to this passage I just shared with you, and let's glean some things and find out what happened, what was going on. Now, we all know about the flood, but we don't all understand what was taking place before the flood came and washed all the whole world's population away except Noah and his wife and their three sons and their wives. Now, so if you want to know, if you're interested in some signs that you can kind of look at, and Jesus said, when these signs are repeated, then you can look for the Lord Jesus to come again. So if you want to know about these signs, look at these things with me. Now, Paul Harvey, now Paul's gone to glory many years ago, but Paul Harvey said something one time that I remembered many, many years. Paul said this. Paul Harvey said, when small men start casting long shadows, the sun's about to set. Now, that's not too difficult to understand. That's not highly theological, but it's true. Here's what I believe about what Paul Harvey said. When small men cast long shadows, the sun's about to set. I believe the sun's about to set on humanity. I don't know about you, but I believe that with all my heart and soul. Now, do you think Jesus is ready to come today? I do. What is keeping Jesus from coming today? Not but one thing. It is not the fullness of the timing of God. There's nothing in the Word of God that has to be done now or fulfilled before Jesus can come again. The only thing is in the fullness of time, just like His birth. When Jesus was born, He was born in the fullness of God's timing. When Jesus comes again, it'll be in the fullness of God's timing again. But there are some indicators that we can look at here together and see some things that should encourage us. It should make us want to say with the Apostle John in the New Testament, even so, come Lord Jesus. I hope you can say that today with readiness in your own heart if the Lord should come before this message is completed or before this service has ended. I hope you could say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Well, let's look at these signs. Let's look at these things that Jesus said that were going on in the days of Noah, and God came and washed away the whole world's population. These same things He said, when they will be repeated, it'll be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There's many things we could share. I'm going to share just a portion of them this morning, a portion more this afternoon. It's a very important message because a lot of folks don't even believe Jesus is coming back at all. Peter said, well, they the scoffers, naysayers. They said to Peter in the first century, where's the evidence of God's coming? We don't see Him coming. Since the days of our fathers, He hasn't come. He's not going to come. And even 2,000 plus years past those days have gone by, and people still today do not believe Jesus is going to come. But I want to tell you from the authority of God's Word, He's ready to come right now. Now, what signs do I need to look for to help me understand that the times that we're living in are the last days? Several things. First of all, I want you to see. I want to take these from the pre-flood age and then typify those to what's going on today. The first thing, the first sign I want you to see from the pre-flood age is that Cain went away from God. That mark was godlessness. When Jesus washed the whole world away, the world was full of godlessness. Look at verse 16 in chapter 4 of Genesis. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. When Cain killed his brother, he fled from God just as far as he could go. He wanted to get just as far away from God as he possibly could. Now, why would that be? Was it because he wouldn't repent? Partly. But I think it was this. I think Cain went as far away from God as he could get so he could sin like he wanted to and live like he wanted to. That's exactly what's going on with people today. They want to get just as far away from God as they can get so they can live like they want to and sin like they want to. Cain didn't want to be around God. He didn't want to be in fellowship with God. He didn't want a relationship with God. He didn't want to be around God's people and have fellowship with God's people. So he fled, the Bible says, and he got just as far away from God as he could. Just like people today. Many people have no time for God. They don't want to be with God. They don't want a relationship with God. They don't want to be around God's people and God's church. They don't want to even have time to even think about reading the Word of God because they don't believe it anyway. They won't read the Word of God. They won't heed what the Word of God says to them. They want just as far away from God as they can get. Amen? Amen? It's happening. Aren't those days on us just as they were in the days of Noah? Amen. Well, we're living, beloved, listen to me. We're living in the days. 3-hour football games and 20-minute sermons. Think about that one a while. People will go to sports events. They'll hoop and holler and shout till they can't even speak the next day. Spend hours and hours and hours at all kinds of sports events. But they won't walk across the street to come to the house of God. Now listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. I'm talking about what went on in those days of Noah and what's going on today. Godlessness. When I was living in South Carolina, we had members of our church who were diehard Clemson fans. That's their business. They flew, listen to me, they flew from Greenville-Spartanburg Airport to wherever they could get another flight and flew all the way to Hawaii to just see Clemson play in one of the whatever bowls it was. Those folks wouldn't walk across the street to tell their neighbor about Jesus. You couldn't blast half of them in the church. People are just like that today. They'll go to sports events. They'll do this. They'll drive to this. And they'll do that. But you can't blast them in the church. I talked to a lady in the hospital last week one day when I was visiting Charlie Deal. Charlie knew her. And so he introduced me to her. And I asked her, do you and your family go to church? Well, no, preacher. I said, shame on you. Well, see, I have to work. See, I'm here working. I have to work on Sunday. I do not know what the excuses I've heard over the years of why people can't come to the house of God, why they can't come to church. Well, preacher, you know that I have to work. I can't be there. Well, maybe I'll pray God get you unemployed so you can come to church. Amen. I don't think they want me to pray about that. Well, you see, preacher, I can't come to church because my children have football practice or they have basketball practice or they have soccer practice. And my daughters, you know, they've got dance practice. And our children, they go to these taekwondo studios and they got to do this and they got to do that. You can get people to do anything you want them to do today but come to the house of God and serve God. You think we're not living in the days of Noah? People can't get just as far away from God as they can get. That's the first sign I want to see. It started in Cain's day, just after he had murdered his brother. But there's a second sign I see today that was going on in the days of Noah. From godlessness, you see city building begin to take place. Look at verse 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. It was in Enoch's days that city building actually began. Why did people begin to build cities? They were trying to get away from God. They were starting to build cities so they could dwell together away from God and sin like they wanted to sin and live like they wanted to live. Do you know today? I'm sure that you do. You can pick out any large city or even a medium-sized city or even a small city. Just pick you out a city from New York to California. And I promise you, you can look at that city and here's what you're going to find. You're going to find crime rates high. You're going to find lust. You're going to find rape. You're going to find incest. You're going to find theft and robbery. And you're going to find a child molestation and all kinds of ungodly sins. You're going to find it in the cities of today. Wickedness, godliness is going on just as it started here in the days of Noah. Beloved, listen. We are in a day of prosperity that this world has never known before. There's city building going on everywhere. Brother Dean could testify if I'd ask him in Charlotte where he was a detective many years. Charlotte's in a big turmoil right now about building all this affordable housing because all these people, you see, are moving into Charlotte. Now, we're just talking 30 miles away. We've got to build all this housing, you see, because all these people are coming into the city. When you get all these people coming into the city, you're going to get more crime and more problems. Because they start dwelling together to live like they want and sin like they want. Do you ever wonder why, if you've heard the news lately, why it could be about 30% of Charlotte's upper level management police officers can and many of them are going to retire before the Republican convention convenes? They know problems are coming. They know it's going to be terrible times. They don't want any part of it. Could you blame them? Listen, only 100 years ago, hear me well. Just 100 years ago, 75% of America's population lived outside of cities. Amen. In rural areas. Now listen, go back from that 100 years unto today. Do you know that trend has reversed itself? Today, 75% of the population of this nation lives in cities. And only 25% of our population lives in rural areas. It's completely done a flip-flop in 100 years. Look at your cities. Chicago is so bad. Certain areas of Chicago, the police won't even go into it because it's so bad. Enoch built a city. That's when it started. If you go back further than that even, you can find the Tower of Babel. You can find out what happened there. They were going to build him something to get away from God. Didn't work then. It's not going to work now. Amen? Well, I could just go on with all the things that's going on in the city. But you know how city life is. You know. Well, look at your evening news. Most any day you want to pick it out, look at it. Regardless of where you look at the evening news, I promise you, you're going to probably hear on a daily basis of at least one homicide or multiple homicides in a city every single day. Why? Crime. People getting away from God. Godlessness and the city building. Well, dwelling together. Sinning like they want to. Living like they want to. You see, beloved, listen, the days of Noah are upon us. Godlessness. City building. And I want you to see a third thing, a third sign that I see from the pre-flood age until today is the breakdown of the home. Listen to verse 19. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other, Zillah. Why did Lamech take him two wives? That's not God's ideal. God created one man, Adam, for one woman, Eve, to come together for one lifetime. That's God's original ideal for the home and marriage. And God hasn't changed His mind, amen? Can I get a witness? That's still the ideal of God. Now, I'm not facetious enough to believe that God's ideal is always reached in everything. I know it's not. But it doesn't change the ideal of God. He got him together two wives. He first broke God's ideal for marriage and the home. Took him two wives. Listen, God's ideal is always going to be God's ideal. Sometime it's reached, sometime it's not. I don't pretend to judge people, but I know God's ideal is not always reached. I understand that. Well, if you want to see what's going on in the days of Noah, that's going to be going on when Jesus comes again, go back to Matthew 24 and look at verse 38. Matthew 24:38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I hope I can open your eyes to something. The Scriptures, God Himself in the flesh, Jesus Christ talking, and He said, as it was in the days of Noah, they were eating, they were drinking, and they were marrying, and they were giving in marriage. Now, do you see anything kind of controversial about that? Law, eating's fine. Everybody has to eat. Alcoholism's terrible. We understand it's a great godly sin. We know that. But I want you to focus your attention on what it said, what Jesus said. They would be marrying and giving in marriage. Does that mean that folks are going to give up their sons and daughters to marry somebody else? No, that's not what that means. Do you know what that marrying and giving in marriage literally means? Let me tell you. It means wife swapping, husband swapping. That's what was going on in the days of Noah. Now, the same thing's going on today that went on then. Now, we don't call it what they call it, wife swapping back then. They call it swinging today. Oh, they modernized that term for sin, swinging. Swinging today, and they even make little funny commercials about it on TV. It means nothing more than trading husbands and wives for a night, for a weekend, or for whatever period of time the couples agree to swap mates. That's what was going on in Noah's day. And that's what's going on today. You know, I'm just about getting sick and tired of hearing this little silly, supposedly a joke. Well, when a man gets 40, he trades his wife off for two 20-year-olds. I don't find any humor in that. I don't know about you. Amen. That's not funny a bit, in my opinion. I don't think God's pleased with it either. But the breakdown of the home, beloved, listen, has never been like it is today. Well, do you realize that the divorce rate in this country has arisen 140% in the last 60 years? And just a few short years back, the divorce rate in America has exceeded 51%, which tells me there are more divorces than there are marriages. And many of them never even come to a marriage. They just live together and fornicate together. Old-timers like myself used to call them shacking up. Means the same thing. Living in sin. It's exactly what it means. More divorces than there are marriages today. Well, I'm not an attorney, glad I'm not. Jesus said woe to the doctors and lawyers. Anyway, it's the easiest day in America to get a divorce. Did you know that? We've got a no-fault divorce today. So if the husband and wife just disagree that we're just incompatible, we can't get along, we just can't live together. If they both agree that they're incompatible, they go before a judge, and they both agree, the divorce will be granted. Oh, it's so easy. So simple to get a divorce today. Real easy. I don't know about the days of Noah, but I know about today. The breakdown of the home is at an all-time high, isn't it? I'm going to mention something else that breaks down the home in the church. And I could spend 2 days on this, but I won't. All this same-sex marriage ungodliness that's going on, and all this homosexual stuff that's going on that ought to be never. Why do you think God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? For those very same reasons. Yet today these homosexuals, I still call them sodomites. Amen. Call one of them that and it'll really make them mad. Yeah. They will. That's not a gay term. It's all it is. Same thing going on today as was then. And worse, if you will, because the population's greater today than it ever has been. So much worse, same-sex marriage. I wonder how long it's going to be before they're going to start marrying their dog, or the cat, or the sheep. We laugh about it, but it could be just that crazy. It really could. This same-sex marriage homosexual movement is doing nothing but breaking down the home life. And listen to me. When you break down the home life, then you're destroying the church. Because the church is made up of families. The church is made up of homes. And if you break down the home, you'll destroy the local church in the process. But now you know, and I know Jesus said, the gates of hell's not going to destroy the church. I know that. But what damage is it doing to the church in our days? The church is going to go up victorious one day. I know that. But until that day comes, what are we in store for? I'm just going to stop right there now. Good time to give an invitation. Listen. I don't know what might be going on in your life. It might be wrong and sinful. But I'm going to tell you this. Listen to me. You better get it straightened now. You better get it straightened out right now. Because Jesus could come before we leave this building. So you know in your own heart, you know if there's something in your life that's not right with God, and you know it. You've got a conscience. You know it. You ought to blister down to this altar and fall on your face before God and ask God to have mercy on you and forgive you and turn from those sins, whatever they may be, and get your life right with God. Because listen, Jesus is coming. I'm looking for Him today. If He doesn't come today, I'll look tomorrow. If He didn't come my lifetime, I'll still go to join Him. Signs of Jesus Christ coming, as it were in the days of Noah. I got a few more things that were going on in the days of Noah. I'll share with you tonight if you'll come. But right now, Sister Pam, won't you come? Sister Amanda, come. We're going to prepare for an invitation. Listen, God gave the pre-flood age an opportunity to repent. God didn't wash them away before Noah had preached unto them 120 years with no converts except his family. And God's not going to come again today without He's already have given the world numerous opportunities to repent. And if you're not right with God, whatever it is in your life, God's given you an opportunity today. But the Bible said they didn't even realize it, didn't even know it, didn't pay attention to it until the flood came and washed them all away. Do you want that to happen to you? That's not going to happen to me. Because you see, I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Now, I'm not perfect by a far stretch, but I got a perfect example that I'm following. And I'm going to close with this in your life today. I want you to know, you're living on God's borrowed time. You may be young, and we may be old. But it's like that old saying, as an old song. Forgive me for repeating something out of the world, but it makes good sense. The Rolling Stones, I don't approve of them, but they made a song. It said this, you got to move. You got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you got to move. You may be high, you may be low. You may not care, but when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. Hey, listen, but folks, He's ready now. Why don't you move now? You'll never be sorry that you did.